Ready? Go!
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Final hour of the show starts now on an F Yeah Friday. Mr. Comedian of the Week,
Dick Kendall.
Barry's giving you some background on Dick throughout the show. We did not have clips.
You are loving this.
You're the one that started it. You are having hit the air.
You are having so much fun with this Dick thing. You are just loving talking about Dick, aren't you?
I can actually say I think I'm wrong in that situation. Just because I'm okay with getting my butt touched doesn't mean other people are okay with getting their butt touched.
I don't know if I would have phrased it that way.
Yeah, especially since we were talking about the Comedian of the Week, and then it just took a turn.
Use your words, Nick.
I like to talk the way I talk. That's the way I talk. Well, look, guys from the university.
I respect the hell out of you, though, for saying that. Yeah, I really do.
Like, guys from the University of Houston, like Scott and Deer Park and me, we're a little bit more manlier. You know, guys from Lone Star, not so much. But I'm just...
You know, we are the fighting crybabies. I don't even know if that's our mascot. I feel like it would be, though. Right? The Lone Star crybabies. The Lone Star sensitives. What's your mascot? It's just a feeling. It's not even a thing. It's just a feeling, really.
Thank God he went there, too, because I'm a comedian. I didn't know where your mascot was going. The Rumbling Richards. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, our buddy Clarence wants to get in here on this OBGA thing before we switch gears or do anything else. Clarence, what's up?
What up, guys? OBJ is a goddamn clown.
Clarence, with the shortest call in the history of Clarence.
You can't say GD.
He forgot.
Well, got to call tomorrow. Clarence, you know the rules. If you curse,
tweet us or text us your thoughts.
I'll read
Clarence.
It. Text it, Clarence, and I'll read it. But, buddy, you can't say GD.
You're an OG of the suspect, yeah. So we're going to forgive you, but you can't say that. That's why I dumped you.
That's right.
And you did the right thing. You caught him in time. So, okay, so there you go. So, look, and the perspective of the officer was fantastic.
Yeah, I did like
that. It's just that, you know what? This is what we do here, and we said this. It's not an argument. It's not volatile, but it's a discussion, and it's part of the discussion. And again, based on our experiences, and like you were talking about, and I was saying, and playing sports my whole life, there were plenty of times when guys are either just, like you said too, it wasn't just slapping. It was, we used to call the towel wrapped up a rat tail.
Yeah.
A rat tail. And then if it was a wet rat tail, now you could really do some damage
to
someone. It was a welt and possibly a blister and all these things.
That made me think of something, Joel, at the break. And you know, you said, oh, come on, it's just the locker room. But you yourself this week told the story about how you fought like hell when they were trying to haze you.
Tape me up. Yep.
On the road because that wasn't okay for you. That wasn't okay to you for them to tape you to your bed and mess with you. And I think this is the same kind of situation. Just because and it's kind of like what Nick said, just because I'm okay with it doesn't make it okay. You weren't okay with that, but I bet other guys were like, ah, whatever. This is just, you know, hey, I want to be part of the team. So you have to think of it from that perspective. And somebody actually texted and said, you know, if that was a female that smacked the security guard, Barry, you'd be telling the security guard to get over it. No, I wouldn't. Thank you for trying to put words in my mouth and assuming what I would think, but that's absolutely not true. My point would be, is, and will always be, if he wasn't okay with it, then it wasn't okay.
And I think part of where I'm wrong in this is, too, is being around team sports my whole life, okay?
Yep.
And the fact that I played it, I worked in that environment. And I know that, not saying it's right, but kind of when we've talked about these things in the past, too, when I've made very clear to point out that, look, the locker room's not PC, it's not HR correct, it's not always going to be that way, is you kind of do it to yourself. You kind of just kind of, you say there's a level of acceptance that, and a get-out-of-jail-free card, mm-hmm. literally, mm-hmm. if you do it in the locker room. So from that perspective, I absolutely could be looking at it wrong. I just look at when I think warrant and arrest and the severity that goes with that, I think you know, either the person was suffering bodily harm and or sexual abuse. And you make a good point that embarrassment is part of that, too. Mm-hmm. And what it does to
demasculate him.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel terrible to get your butt touched. It's really not that bad.
Please stop talking.
My mic was on.
Does this happen a lot when you're covering the Rockets, Nick? Or
how much butt touching is going on when you're in the locker room?
I feel
Nicholas?
Like I'm okay with saying these things on the air because I know nobody can isolate it and mess with me.
Yeah, we're the only ones.
Yeah, that's the best thing about being a producer.
Do you find yourself in the media scrum, that's them funny. Turning around going, is that a stick mic or are you just happy to see me in the locker room?
I don't look at anybody's butts. I don't touch anybody. I don't want anybody touching me when I'm in any locker room. When I'm in that locker room, I still think it's crazy that they come out of the shower in the Rockets locker room and we're right there. He's butt naked with nothing but a towel around him, and we're just right there waiting for him to dress. I still think that's crazy, but that's the way it works. I mean,
Well, that's why in a lot of cases too, you see where the media is just trying to get their story and their job done, and they end up getting the guy in the locker next to them.
Right.
In a compromised position. Yeah. And in a lot of cases, or there's a mirror. There's been a couple where there was a mirror and they were shooting to get the guy at his locker, but the mirror's in the corner of the shot and the mirror with the angle that he's at is going into the showers. And so you're right. For all that access that they want to give to the media, there's still got to be a better way, whether it's the logistics of when you're creating the with the blueprints and everything, how you're going to design the locker room or whatever the case may be. But they, with all the cameras that are in there now, and literally, when Harden talks, there's like a massive humanity around him.
Oh, yeah.
That there's got to be a better way. Like, in a lot of the big-time situations with big-time teams that have been successful for a lot of years, a lot of teams it's done for the playoffs. The teams that have been successful for a lot of years with superstar players will have their best players do just like the playoffs, go to the podium. Because it avoids...
Well, that's what the Rockets have officially changed the way they do it. They don't do it the same way no more. Starting this season, what they do is you cannot go to a player's locker room to ask questions after the game. The player gets dressed. He goes to a certain part in the middle of the locker room, and then everybody...
Smart.
And I think that was... Mm-hmm. I have to give credit. That was... I think that was an idea by Tracy.
Tracy Hughes.
Who's the head of PR at the Houston Rockets. Yep. She's the one, I believe, that made that rule, and they've been pretty consistent about it all season long. And it only started this season. So I don't know if that happens in all NBA teams. I'm just saying, down here in Houston, I've covered this team. That's exactly how they do it.
Tad got mad because she enforced it on him, too, and he couldn't go to the lockers and ask.
Wow.
But other than that, I've known Tracy a long time.
Pow.
Yep.
Somebody said, first I said no arrest, but I just watched the video. The guy was bent over performing his job. Definitely I would arrest OBJ, especially the little dance he did and the facial expressions. Because that's just it.
Yeah.
It's not like he just did it and was like, hey, buddy, it's cool. Move along. We're all right. Slap. He kind of took it to the next level and continued to disrespect him. And I think that's all part of it. This is kind of sad, but I wanted to read this just because I wanted to give him a shout out. Just wanted to take a minute to thank the three of y'all for what y'all do on the show. I lost my dad yesterday to ALS, so listening to y'all the last couple hours has been a nice distraction.
Very sorry to hear that, man.
We are all very sorry for your loss. And that's a difficult thing to go through.
Awful.
And I'm glad that we could help maybe, you know, cheer you up for a few minutes.
Been through it, and it wasn't because of ALS, but it doesn't matter how it happens. When you lose a parent, it is devastating, and my thoughts are with you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
Clarence has tweeted the show, by the way.
Did he?
Yes.
What did he say?
Clarence says, my bad, guys. I was saying that OBJ is a fool who deserves whatever he gets. All of those alumni who were there, from Marcus Spears to Karl Malone, who's not an alumni, they were civil, but not him. I just watched the NCAA make a rule about who can be on the sidelines, that or the field in general.
Yeah.
Because that's the point I was going to make about Marcus Spears as well as Ryan Clark, and I think I said it the other day, those guys handled it appropriately. They did everything they did. They did a little rah-rah in the air, but in terms of where they were and what they did and how they handled themselves and conducted themselves, you could differentiate. I mean, obviously OBJ, like you said, whether he was drinking or otherwise, he was under some kind of influence, and he was having a heck of a time. It's fine if you're just having a heck of a time, but when you're having a heck of a time at the expense of others,
yes,
that's when it becomes a problem.
That's when it's an issue.
Yep. Karl Malone thought it was funny. The security guy didn't.
That's right.
And who texted Nick likes when men touch his Sharara? Who texted that? Who texted that?
I want to point out.
Who texted that?
I want to point out I didn't read it.
757.
I would like to point out that I moved it to the deleted items because I respect you and your love.
I do not like it when men touch my Sharara.
I want to point out that I respect you and your love of touch butt. So I just deleted it and let you be yourself.
And since now Barry has a legitimate reason for liking the touch butt, because now that you guys are together, he's now turned over a new leaf to be more protective of you, Nick. Otherwise, he would have read it. But the fact that you're now going together changes everything.
I was just trying to protect your feelings, boo-boo.
Okay. I'm really, I really got the business on the text line after
really
saying that.
Did. I love Walt. He texted it. He's like, how funny would it have been if he had turned around and just tased that dude? If he would have tased OBJ.
Then OBJ would have filed
yeah,
a suit.
Then OBJ would have been suing. But it's like, nah, player, you earned that tasing. Yeah, pretty interesting. The back and forth I find fascinating. But I will respect the fact that you guys were willing to listen to reason about this and changed your stance. Well, Nick changed.
I did because here's the deal. I feel like we're in a society
you're
now.
You're still violating people. Nick at least is now a decent human being.
I could see where I was wrong.
You can't make a mistake now without, I feel like punishment always has to be so extreme. And I think I've been so conditioned to that. So I don't want extreme punishment on everybody. Cause I feel like everybody can make a mistake and eventually grow out of it. As long as that mistake is not incredibly egregious, you know what
would
I mean?
Agree.
Like
would
murder
agree. Yep. Would
or
agree.
Rape or something like that. You know, I'd like to give people second chances
the benefit
if I
of the
could.
Doubt. Yeah. You totally agree. Mean?
Obviously, OBJ has had quite a few chances, but I'm just saying. But that's the reason why I immediately said that. I'm like, stop making this a big deal. Stop making this a big deal. You know, I'm not for, like, it's starting to look like Altuve could potentially be banned. You mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I'm not for that. I don't believe someone should be banned from a sport that he loves. For that, I just don't. Yeah. I just don't. But maybe they bring out evidence that warrants it or justifies it. I don't know. There's probably going to be more with this story that's going to develop. I just feel like we're just so extreme about punishment these days.
I would agree with that. And can I just point out, too, that you guys know I try to read texts that are good. But if you text me the same Bill O'Brien and AJ Hinch joke 5 days in a row and I delete it and don't read it, stop texting it. It's dumb. Your joke is dumb, 6030. Stop sending it. Thank you. We move on.
The opinions of Barry Laminack do not necessarily represent the opinions of Gal Media.
I am so slapping
Nick
you on the ass. Good show, Joel. Joel.
He did it's say happening. That in the break, too. I came back from the bathroom.
When he walked by.
I'll do it right now.
God, I wanted to just,
I dare
game,
you to press
Joel.
Charges.
Bam!
Yeah, he was so
I dare
funny
you to press charges.
God, I want to slap your butt so
do
hard,
it.
Joel.
I'm not pressing charges. I'm buying you a drink.
Well, you know, it's date night tonight, guys. It is Friday, so you guys can get out and get after it a little bit.
You know, I got a room at the Houstonian.
I gotta go. This is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Roll through the final hour of a very fast-moving show today on an FEF Friday. It's the Usual Suspects as we continue to bob and weave, hit topics and move. Really had a good one going there about the whole OBJ thing. Carried that for a few segments because you guys were very, very spirited.
Yeah.
And it was good dialogue.
It was fun.
We did get the first game of the two games this weekend in. It's time to get the second game. That would be the late game, the NFC Championship game, which features the Packers of Green Bay visiting the Niners of San Francisco, albeit through Santa Clara, where the stadium is. You know, you guys can...
I want to hear your thoughts on it. And I know...
I don't feel good about it. And I've told you all year that I thought this team was overachieving.
Yeah.
So I'm now to the point where I can say, looking back at the season, the way the playoffs have gone to this point, the fact that Rodgers is now in his fourth NFC Championship game, which is one shy of the record held by Donovan McNabb, I believe. I just feel like, look, the fact that this team only lost three games in the regular season, the fact that they won a playoff game, had the number two seed overall, and now we'll play the number one seed with a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has been a huge success of a season. I never saw any of this coming, but I stick by what I said. There's holes on this team, and they have not put all the pieces they should have around Rodgers. Their defense, unbelievable. And for everybody that questioned the money they spent on defense in the offseason on the Smith brothers, those dudes have paid hand over fist back in return what they've done.
Yes, they have.
They have a corner that's questionable in terms of his ability to cover in Kevin King. I think the Niners are the most complete team in the NFC, although I picked the Saints before the season. Watching what that front seven can do, watching what they did the first time. The reason I have hope is because Aaron Rodgers is that quarterback.
Okay.
And I've seen him do things in the past where I didn't think that they had much of a chance and completely just baffled me. I just think that this is too complete of a team, and I think the Niners are going to win.
I tend to agree with you. I think that despite Garoppolo, who, by the way, threw for almost as many yards as Aaron Rodgers did this year,
mm-hmm.
way more interceptions, just as many touchdowns, so he's got to take better care of the football. But you just need Garoppolo to be a game manager at this point, I believe. But that Niners defense is outstanding. And believe it or not, this is a team that almost averaged 30. They averaged 29.9 points a game, almost 30 points a game. And I realize how good Green Bay's defense is, giving up less than 20 points a game. But that means that you really got to buckle down on defense. And for a team that averaged 24 themselves this year, San Francisco was pretty stingy, only giving up 19, just like that Packers defense. So you look at that and you think, okay, these are two teams that are really stingy on defense. Who has the advantage offensively? Obviously, I think that you look at it and say, well, you know, quarterback-wise, it's a no-brainer that it's
Aaron
Rodgers.
Unless you're McGlinchey, the offensive lineman of the Niners, who yesterday was like, we think 10's as good as Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong. He's Hall of Fame, but we believe in Jimmy G. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and I think, as well as Mostert has been playing, I think Jones is the better running back, but Mostert's been playing really good. I mean, Jones had more.
That's the key to the whole game, Barry.
Yeah.
If Green Bay can run the football, they're going to be in the game.
Totally agree.
If Aaron Jones cannot run the football, they're going to tee off on Aaron Rodgers.
But I do think guys like George Kittle are X-factors.
He's tough to stop.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be a good football game. I think that this could be a close football game. But I do, and I hate to say this, but I do agree with you. I have a 24-21 Niners. I think it's that close. It surprises me that the spread is 7.5 when you consider how well San Francisco has played all year. And they had a test. I mean, that Seahawks team was a test.
Oh, it was, yeah.
And they passed with flying colors. You know, the Vikings team was a test for the Niners. Passed with flying colors. So I think that, you know, this is, I think the Niners all year have really been underappreciated for what they've
done. Under the radar in a lot of ways, yeah.
And maybe not disrespected, but maybe kind of dismissed because there were so many better stories with the Ravens and, like you said, even the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and being back and you know, KC and New Orleans and how Drew Brees was out and they still won with Teddy Bridgewater. All those other stories, and people thought, yeah, San Francisco's defense is good, but you never heard a bunch about them.
And Nick, I want to get yours in. I just want to say one thing about that, and that is, a lot of things had to happen correctly for a lot of teams this year, right? If that final play of the Niners, you mentioned the Seahawks, if the Niners-Seahawks last game of the regular season, if that last half an inch gets over the goal line, now the Niners got to go through Green Bay.
Yep.
Now the Niners got to be the 5 seed. Now the Niners got to go on the road from week one. It's a totally different ballgame. Just like from Green Bay's perspective, they caught a break in one. That the way that everything shook out, they got the 2 seed. They made people go through Green Bay until they got to the Niners. And more so than that, the Saints being bumped out. Now your second round opponent is a team that's a little easier to defend against. It's basically all Russell Wilson and a few receivers they didn't have a running game.
I mean, they beat the Saints
as opposed to
this
playing
year,
the Saints.
Niners played the Saints, beat them 48-46.
I'm saying the Packers. The Packers didn't have to play the Saints.
Right.
They played the Seahawks.
Right. And I mean, the Niners played the Packers this year, beat them 37-8. So this is a team, I think, that has been tested. They split with the Seahawks, but they did get that last win. You know, I mentioned the win against the Saints. They had the loss against the Ravens, but it was a close football game, a highly anticipated football game, and a good football game. But here's a crazy stat, since I used numbers in the last one. Guess how many teams outscored the San Francisco Niners in the NFL this year? Just take a guess. How many you think? How many would you say?
Four.
Three.
One.
Cowboys?
One, Ravens.
Wow.
One team in football scored more points on average per game than the San Francisco 49ers, and it was the Baltimore Ravens. This is an offense that gets slept on because I think of Garoppolo and the shortcomings he has as far as the interceptions and stuff, but they can put up points. Kyle Shanahan and the way that that offense runs, it so reminds me of the old Matt Schaub, Gary Kubiak offense because he's a disciple of that. But you see those bootlegs. You see those levels of the tight end and the wide receivers running those,
you know,
those post routes on the bootleg. And, man,
I see the
it can be highly effective when it works.
I just see depth. I see three running backs that can kill you with speed, kill you with quickness. I see receiving core from veterans to rookies that can bust a long ball on you or run the perfect route or do everything. They're a precisely well-coached team that executes.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you got?
I mean, I feel like you're not picking the Packers because you're a firm believer in reverse psychology.
Me too.
You really want the Packers
to
win.
I believe that.
I'm being honest. I'm telling you what I feel outside of what my heart says. I will be screaming until I have laryngitis for them to win, and I'll be on every play. But I realistically, if I had to bet this game, I wouldn't bet on the Packers.
I mean, you have a 1,000-yard rusher in Aaron Jones. I don't see why in this particular game, despite it being, you know, big spotlight, big playoff game, that he can't do that again. We talked about the interceptions. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a lot more careful. I think he can potentially make a lot less mistakes in this situation as opposed to a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm afraid that if mistakes happen early for the 49ers, I think it just will continue to fall. It'll be a bad situation. And I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo can come back from that. I think another cool thing is I saw a stat. I think it was on CBS Sports, and it was like 23 times when a team got absolutely blown out in the regular season by at least 28 points.
Yeah.
When they had that rematch, okay, that team that got blown out won 9 of those 23 times. So not really good numbers, but okay numbers. So I don't think it's impossible for someone to do that when you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
They always say, even with the division games, it's tough to beat a team twice in the same year, things like that. But, Nick, you bring up a great point, because I'll say this. If you want the two factors to the game, and one is can Green Bay run the ball with Aaron Jones, and the other one, you're absolutely spot on, and is Jimmy G threw a lot of questionable passes last week. If he's not careful with the football, and he throws, like you said, if he gets a rat, if he throws a pick or two, because turnovers set that game the wrong way for Green Bay. Remember, on the opening drive, Rodgers fumbled. They all thought he was down. They reviewed it. It ended up being a fumble. The Niners got the ball on the 8-yard line. They scored right away. The momentum was suddenly right in their back pocket, and they kept it. If you can get a turnover or two on Jimmy G, it could be different too. But those are the two factors, I would say. The turnovers from a Niners perspective with Garoppolo for sure. And then if Packers can run the football.
I was looking at the weather. Because obviously being
perfect,
in Lambeau.
Right?
Yeah, 25 degrees, no snow, sunny.
25 in San Francisco?
It's in Green. Oh, no.
No,
I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, in Santa Clara.
I don't know why I was thinking Green Bay.
If it was 25 degrees, I'd be doing cartwheels down the hallway in this break.
Yeah, my bad. I looked up the wrong damn city. Yeah, never mind. Forget that.
It can't be factored in, obviously, being in San Francisco. I get it.
ESPN.
It'll be cold. I mean, it could be cold. You ever been there?
San Fran, no.
Oh, the
San
wind?
Francisco can Woo! Get.
At night, right?
Go to a Giants game at night. Yeah, at night, it gets brisk.
And what's kickoff? 5?
5:40. Yep.
Yeah, so it won't be too bad.
Nah,
yeah.
By the way, I'm picking Green Bay. That's my official
pick. Oh, wow. You got Green Bay?
Nice.
Okay.
All right. It's about time. Now I can't say that you hated me the whole year. Fine. You can.
It's probably true still.
Now that you guys
60
are dating,
degrees
he's
in Santa Clara.
More emotionally sentimental and
now that
and
we
nice.
Go together.
Yeah. All right. Final half hour of the show comes up next. Fort Worth Jay looks like wants to talk a little playoffs. You guys want to talk a little UFC. Got lots to get to in the final half hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Great week. Literally.
Fun
I'm not
show.
Just saying that.
Fun,
a lot of fun shows. A lot of great and very, very topical discussions.
Great involvement with the listeners and the texts and calls. And by the way, can I just tell Jerome to go to hell? Is that cool?
Jerome.
Solomon.
Jerome Solomon of the Chronicle.
Because he texts me, he says, you know damn well your coach never patted you on the ass and said, good job, Laminate. You couldn't play. He was feeling you up. Kiss my ass, Jerome. Okay? Not having it from you.
Jerk.
Everybody did a good job this
now,
week except Jerome.
If kissed your ass, he'd possibly face a warrant for his arrest.
I'm taken. Right, Nick?
All right. We were talking playoffs. Let's get our man in here. Fort Worth Jay. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Meow, 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 meow. Hey, Barry.
Nope.
Barry.
What?
Please tell me you don't sleep with your mouth open, bro. So check this out. I had a whole thing lined up, but this has been like the most gangster segment I've ever heard y'all have. Y'all had the Klan cop from Vida sound like he wanted to beat Odell Beckham with a nightclub himself. Then Clarence came on, gangster as hell, and then one of y'all go together? What's going on? Happy New Year, fellas.
Hey, 2020, Jay.
Jay, typical,
hey, Joel.
Typical yes. Day Wait, of the I'm usual sorry. Suspects, buddy.
Yes, Jay.
I didn't mean to cut y'all off. Hey, Joel.
Yes.
You know how to guarantee y'all go to the Super Bowl this year?
Please tell me.
Move the game to Arlington.
That's a good point. You mean Lambeau South. Don't kid yourself about Jerry World anymore.
That's hey, look, man. Hey, South. Look. I don't need you to add to the dope, bro. I already gave you your props. Like,
hey,
don't
Jay,
rub it in.
Jay, yeah. Like, you just gave me advice. Can I give you some advice?
Pick a new team.
You know how you make the playoffs next year?
Hire
a retread from the Packers and take your shot.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Ooh, that was a good one. But you know what? You know what?
If you can't beat
them, I'm going to be a man and go ahead and take that one on the 10 and tell you guys how good we did.
Hey, if you can't beat them, hire them, Jay. Appreciate the call, buddy. Have a Thanks, good weekend. Jay. That's outstanding.
Calls have been great, man.
He didn't stand a chance. He really didn't. And I'm so glad opening with, do I sleep with my mouth open? Kiss my ass, Jay.
That was fantastic.
And if you don't know what Jay's talking about, I'm not repeating it. Just go back to the,
yeah,
trust
go
me.
Go back and listen.
Was it 115, 130 on the podcast?
Yeah.
You can hear the story.
I believe hour one.
You got
hour
I give
Tuesday.
You credit because not only did you tell the story, but you told the story early in the show.
Yeah.
Right off the top.
Yeah. So if you missed it, it's worth a listen, I think. So
that's pretty funny.
Somebody wants to know, hey, Barry, who you got this in the fight this Saturday night, Cowboy or McGregor? Probably a good opportunity to discuss that a little bit.
I'm pumped for this fight. I'm definitely watching
it. Cerrone, right?
Too.
Cerrone?
Yes. Cowboy Cerrone and Conor McGregor. Here's the crazy thing. I was looking up stats and whatnot and the odds. First of all, McGregor minus 300, Cowboy plus 240. I like that plus 240.
Yeah, me too. I think there's some value there. You got a guy in Donald Cerrone that can absolutely finish you in multiple ways. No matter who you are. So I like
crazy
that value.
Thing, I didn't realize this, but they have their records and just did quick math in my head. Cerrone has twice as many fights as Conor McGregor. He's fought 50 times to McGregor's 25.
Yep.
And sometimes that comes into play. Not that it would against Conor McGregor, but that experience, man, it just becomes second nature to you. I think the key to this, like almost the key to any Conor McGregor fight, is ground game for his opponent. Can Donald Cerrone get him down? We saw it with Khabib. We saw, you know, Conor is susceptible on the ground. Now, Cerrone, during the press conference, tried to downplay that. He goes, if you guys don't think that he has, you know, a shot defense for wrestling or basic jiu-jitsu that he can defend, you guys are crazy. That's Donald Cerrone being nice. Conor McGregor's ground game is not good.
It's not the best. We saw him struggle with Chad Mendes, and Chad Mendes took that fight on very, very short notice, and he was able to take him down in the first round. Obviously, Conor McGregor weathered the storm, was able to come back and win that fight. But yeah, that's not necessarily what he's got. A really good left hook. He's known more for his striking. And Donald Cerrone, even if he's not the most world-class wrestler, if you don't feel that way, he's had so many fights that he's been on his back quite a bit. To me, the key is Donald Cerrone not getting caught with a punch. The last two fights, he's been caught. He's lost via TKO or KO. One was a doctor stoppage. And it just makes you wonder if that chin is really starting to go. I believe he's in his mid-30s. Let me see if I have his follow-up.
Who's Cerrone? Yeah, he's 36.
36 years old. Yeah. So You got to start wondering how much that chin is going to... It happens to the best.
It's
it happens
a great
to
point.
Chuck Liddell. It happened to Rashad Evans. It
as you
to
get
the
older,
best.
As you get older and the more damage that you take...
That button goes.
Yeah, man. That button gets a lot weaker.
Yeah, so and Connor is going to probably catch you at some point in the fight. He's just good enough to do that, and that's my biggest fear. I'm going to still go ahead and pick Donald.
I'm with you because of the last two fights that Conor McGregor lost, he lost on the ground.
Correct.
And Donald Cerrone's jiu-jitsu is legitimate.
Yes.
Like, he is a legit BJJ fighter.
Yeah.
And so that presents a problem for Conor McGregor. And I do think, even though you're right about the button and him getting knocked out the last two fights, if he's careful, he can withstand some punishment to get this fight where he wants it to be, which is on the ground. Now, Cerrone, you know, will trade with anybody.
Sure.
He doesn't mind slugging it out. I think he's just smart enough to know that's probably not his best option against Conor McGregor.
Right. And just like I said, one of those KOs was a doctor stoppage. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, Donald Cerrone is always trying to fight. No one's going to stop him.
No, he's an exciting, fun guy to watch.
Absolutely tough guy. If it was me, I don't know what the game plan is. I would pick your shots early, push him up against the cage, maybe go for a takedown, wear him out. At that point, Conor McGregor is going to be easier to get to be knocked out.
Yeah.
At that point. That would be my game plan. Obviously, he's got great coaches around him. It'll be interesting to see. My pick is Donald Cerrone.
Yeah. It's tough because I feel like anytime you have any kind of wrestling or a ground game and a decent shot or takedown, whether it be, you know, whether you use judo to get into your Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whether you just use basic wrestling shots or single legs or whatever, anytime you're good at that, And you're facing a striker that isn't, you have the opportunity to dictate where the fight takes place. And if you can do that and you're as dominant as Cerrone is, kind of like what we saw with Diaz, he was so dominant on the ground that once he got it there, he didn't need to, by the way. He could trade with Conor if he wanted to, but once he got it to the ground, he handled his business. I kind of feel the same way. And somebody asked me, my heart says Donald Cerrone, but my head is saying, man, there's something about this comeback from Conor McGregor that I think scares me and wants to put the rest.
He's humble and he looks a lot more focused.
He's humble and focused.
Yeah.
And he realizes that he almost blew it. And when you've got a guy like Conor McGregor that knows that he was on the brink of losing it all, and when he came from nothing, I think this guy means business. It's almost like we talked about earlier, Joel, with the Astros going into 2020. They know what's at stake.
I was just going to say that because he wants to
and
fight
so that
Floyd.
That scares me with anybody
he
that would have to face Conor McGregor
Floyd.
At this point.
He wants the career to continue, and he knows if he loses this fight,
yeah,
a lot of that
he wants
goes
that
away
rematch
with it.
With Khabib as well. He wants that rematch.
Oh, for sure. He wants
and
that
Dana
and Floyd.
Said he's got to take care of business tomorrow or this weekend if he even wants that rematch, which Dana knows that is the top fight for Conor McGregor right now.
And here's another thing that goes to your point makes it a good argument for Conor potentially winning. When he got to the ground with Nate Diaz, that's because he wore himself out. He was tired, and he went for a takedown because he knew he was about to get knocked out by Nate Diaz because he was tired. That's why he got beat on the ground. Come rematch, he learned. He knew not to wear himself out. He paced himself. He was more trained. He can go 5 rounds, and that's the reason. That was the difference in that fight. I don't think Conor McGregor, you know what? Conor McGregor may not make that mistake again, and he may not do that with Donald. So I know Donald can go for 5 rounds.
Yeah.
Conor has shown he can do it now after he made that mistake with Nate. It's going to be interesting to see how long he can go with the layoff, being this new humbled and focused McGregor. I'll stick with Donald, but we'll see what happens.
But I also think it's an interesting point about their size difference, which you and I were talking about a little bit yesterday in pre-show. It's a big difference in size, and the fact that this is at 170, I also think is advantage Donald Cerrone because of his size and the weight cut that he doesn't have to perform to get down to, you know. So I think also at this fight at 170, even though they called him, who'd they call a stick in the mud? I think they called Cerrone like a stick in the mud or whatever. I think this is advantage Cerrone from a size perspective when it comes to the ground game.
Yep.
You start laying on dudes and taking away their breath.
Get some tired.
Yeah, man.
Get some tired.
I think I'm going to...
Or get your co-host together.
Go the other way so one of us can be right and one of us can be wrong.
Yeah, I'll pick Connor. like I said, my heart says Cerrone, but my head is telling me there's something about this comeback with Conor McGregor.
I'll tell you what, the UFC business.
And
really
he's so focused on that rematch with Khabib Nurmagomedov that he wants this so bad. I think he could take care of business this weekend.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
What are you, Bart Scott? What? Can't wait! sports, Scott.
You like that?
All right. Final segment comes up next. We're going to put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. They're going to take you into your weekend right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap things up. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always a good time to say thank you to you guys being suspects. We appreciate the love on the text line, the tweets, the calls. But we appreciate you, because without you, there's no us. And so always on a Friday as we head into a weekend, we give our thanks to you guys, the great people that keep us going and motivated and in these discussions and realizing, you know, because you get the ass clones out there occasionally that want to just take the pot shots.
Or but, stalk you and do weird things on Twitter. Had that this morning.
That was creepy.
Had some creepy dude on Twitter stalking my personal information and putting it out there. It was weird. And I don't block that many people. I'll mute guys most of the time. It's because they tweet. I don't mind if something, like, I was tweeting about, I was making these crazy tweets today, right?
Yeah.
And people, a lot of people, ruffled a lot of feathers and people were responding. And guess what I didn't do? I didn't block or mute anyone except for two people. One guy tweeted me 15 times in a row. That's a little excessive. I just don't even have
the same comment,
my phone.
Or?
No, just different, like, just going off and ranting. I'm like, bro, my phone battery's going to die from all these notices. So I just muted him because I don't want to hear it. And then the other guy I blocked because he got creepy and put all my personal information out there. And I'm
did?
Like, yeah, and I'm like, bro.
Trying to find value on your house and everything?
It's weird. So weird. I was like, well, I told P. Ray Dills because he's like, bro, what's going on? I was like, I guess I've officially made it. I guess this means I'm officially famous. I have my first stalker. What a weirdo. I was like, man, who does that?
That was just crazy. And then I actually finally...
That dude has definitely sniffed panties before. Anybody that does that, definitely a panty sniffer, right? Like, because that's weird. Like, he's, you know, he's at his buddy's house and his buddy's sister's laundry's out and he sneaks a pair and takes them home. Like, come on, bro. That's creepy stuff. Stop doing that. Just be a dude. Just come out. Just say mean things to me on Twitter. I don't care. But why are you putting my info out there?
And then that's weird. Like I said, and then you got... People like Manny, who are great and had a great time yesterday.
Absolutely.
With the fact that he wanted to get his wife involved in the show and get roasted. She did. They loved it. They tweeted us. We loved the fact that they tweeted us. We liked it. And then some ass clown below goes, that show sucks. Well, you know what? I was going to respond. I didn't. It's 2020. We're trying to turn over a new leaf. I looked at the fact that he had 25 followers and I went, you know, that life sucks. And I went, you know what? Touche. We're good.
Somebody said, Barry needs to call the cops on his damn cat. What is a grown man that... What if it was a grown man that pooped on his pillow? What? First of all, grown man is not pooping on my pillow, okay? Second of all, I'm not calling the cop on no cat. It's not even my cat. It's not my cat. I want the record to reflect that.
So then it's not. So then you have to call the cops, but then you've got a civil lawsuit.
Cowboy Trav's back, by the way.
Yeah.
He texted. He said, hey, guys, headed in from the hill country, back to the H, finished my PTSD and alcohol treatment. Excited to be home back listening. Best damn show out there. Welcome back, buddy.
Welcome back, Trav.
Glad to have you back.
In more ways than one, yep.
That's right.
So
what is your priority this week?
Week or weekend?
Weekend. And this weekend.
I'm good until 5:40 on Sunday.
Yeah, I
got lots of kids. I got lots of family priorities this weekend.
I was being facetious. I know what you're watching,
but you know Sunday Aaron night Hernandez what I'm watching. I am going to try and watch that. Yeah,
when?
I'll figure it out, man. We got stuff to do.
No,
you don't have a family like me with these kids running around like Taylor rattling
really?
Off all these different.
How many
things.
Of your kids pooped on your pillow, Joel?
We try.
Yeah. Okay.
You know why? Because we work with our children. We work with them on a daily basis.
How is it you have? How old is she now?
Taylor's 4.
No, the young one.
Madison is her name, by the way.
I didn't know if we were giving that out.
Put it on Twitter and all that.
To respect it.
She's what? She was born...
October?
She was not born on October
30th. 3 months old.
So about 3 months.
How
almost,
is it you have a 3-month-old kid that acts better than this 6-month-old cat? That's just...
Just genes.
Boy.
And first impressions.
I tell you what, though. After it happened and my wife teased me... Non-stop about it. she did say to me, because we, you know, we went and looked. We went to the, did I tell you we went to the SPCA and looked for a cat?
Yeah, I think you said you were, yeah.
And then we went to this place, and I won't name their name because they were terrible. Oh. But we walked in to
call
look
them
at
out,
this.
Barry. Tell them. Tell
we
us who
walked
was.
In to look at this cat.
Tell us, who was it?
It's something about a pick a perfect cat or something like that. Get it perfect.
Wait,
whatever.
That's a, like a, lid, was like a yeah. pet store?
It was something like that. I don't know. There, it's like an adoption place, right? And I had found this cat, and I showed a picture to Nora, and she was like, oh, it's so cute. Let's go look at it. So we show up to this adoption place, not the SPCA, and we're going to look at this cat. And we go inside, and Nora gets the cat, and she's holding it. And the lady goes, so what's y'all's situation? I was like, what do you mean? She was like, what is the household like? I was like, I don't understand. She goes, do you have any pets? I was like, no, we just lost our other cat, so we don't have any pets. That was like 6 months ago. We're ready to adopt again. She goes, oh, well, that one right there. She likes other cats, so you need to adopt two cats. I said, man, we're not looking for two cats.
She can't tell you that.
We're getting one cat. And she goes, well, I'm just telling you, you're probably going to have to get two cats. I said, lady, I'm not getting two cats. If I want that cat, I'll adopt that cat. But I'm not adopting two cats. It's not happening. And she kind of, she got a little upset with me. She goes, well, do you plan on introducing any other pets? I said, first of all, it's none of your business. But yeah, I plan on getting a Doberman. Within a year of getting this cat, we're going to get a Doberman. She goes, a Doberman? Well, that's like a really big dog. I said, ma'am, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, okay? She goes, well, we understand the personalities of our cats. And that's why I told Nora, put the cat down. We're leaving. This lady's crazy.
Why is it everywhere we're you go and, from and Chick-fil-A you know what parking did? Lot to the cat store, you're antagonistically getting into arguments?
But here's the thing, Joel. As Nora looked at me, goes, this cat ain't even cute. Threw it in the cage and we left.
Wow.
I'm like, my baby's
it's like a
gangster.
Modern day Bonnie and Clyde yeah, my here baby's at the gangster. Cat shop.
My baby's gangster. And we bolted. And Nora was like, yeah, I didn't like them. That lady was rude. Telling us to get two cats. We ain't getting two cats. So I tell you all
did
that.
Did you peel out in the parking lot?
No, because we were down the street. We had to walk. We walked off in a huff, though.
Yeah.
You know, got a little sassy pants. I tell you that to tell you this, though. After the cat pooped on my pillow, Nora's like, I don't know if I want a cat anymore.
Oh, I thought she was going to say we're keeping it.
No!
Based on the fact that the cat will do that to you, she doesn't have to. I thought she's like, no, we'll keep this one.
Yeah, this is a good cat. No, she's like, I don't know if I want a cat now. I don't know if I want another animal. I'm like, whoa.
No, first of all, Daddy, especially if you get a big dog. No, but I say this.
Daddy okay. gets a dog.
As you say, I say that to say this. No big dog would be on the bed and do something like that. And then I think about the fact that our husky sleeps on Lisa's pillow.
Uh-huh. And sometimes you might get a little boo-boo on your butt that you didn't wash off or whatever.
No,
it could happen.
No, sometimes when she's unintelligent enough, I won't use the term, to let them out in the middle of the night when there's not enough lights in the yard, right? And I haven't done my normal morning cleanup of the yard. She lets them out at 2 or 3 in the morning and then lets him jump back on the pillow. And then when she smells the crap, I'm like, well, you did that to yourself because he ran in the yard and then he stepped in something.
She's going to murder you for admitting
and guess
this.
What? That's fine because I'm not dumb enough to let one of the dogs sleep on my pillow.
Well. Did she at one point be like, I think the dog farted?
No, but you know what's funny?
Boy.
She's worse than you. It could even be a speck of dirt, and she'll wash everything on the bed every day or two.
Yeah.
Nope, Jack got a dirt, got some dirt on the bed. The whole thing's got to be washed. I'm like, just put the sheets on.
Hey, you know what? We're just wallowing in filth. Good for her.
I think it's very funny that she had a rule once Madison was born, no more dogs in the bedroom. Like you said, 3 months in now, we're three
dogs all in the bedroom.
We are four dogs into the bedroom.
Yep. Oh yeah, of course.
Yep.
You weren't preventing that.
I kept looking
she
at her
loves
going,
too much.
That's just nuts. And she goes, I'm worried though, but you know, I don't want any of the dogs to bother the baby. I'm like, well, you don't worry about them bothering me because they're all over the damn bed.
Joe, you don't count. You're literally low man on the totem pole in your house.
I knew that before the baby was born.
Yeah. It goes, what, Madison, Taylor, Lisa, the dogs, you.
I mean, you're that's outnumbered. True. Three yeah, girls to one dude, plus all the dogs.
And speaking of that, and I know we got to go in just a second, but we did go to the SPCA to look. I have never seen so many three-legged animals in my whole life. Yeah. They were everywhere.
They're all over, man.
Just at the SPCA, there was like four three-legged dogs and a three-legged cat, which I have never seen. And I didn't know this cat was three-legged. I was like, oh, look, he's so cute, babe. Let's get this one. And I walked over. I was like, what the hell?
No, but I was just going to tell you.
And Nora was like, baby, he doesn't have a leg. I was like, no, we're good. We'll just
keep
moving.
We fostered the three-legged dog.
Yeah.
And from the time we fostered him, the people kept saying to us, just let us know when you want to find him a home because of the fact that the sympathetic, cute vote wins people over. They are the easiest dogs and cats to adopt.
It's crazy. Well, why were there so many there? And it's heartbreaking to walk through the SPCA and see all these sad dogs that are scared. And, you know, like I went to, there was this one Labrador. He was really, really cute. But when you got near him, he jumped and he didn't want to be, I guess because I was a man and, you know, he was probably beat or something. Dude, that's heartbreaking.
It's awful.
I mean, that is heartbreaking.
How do you think we got all of our dogs?
Lisa.
Lisa had a bad day at the SPCA.
Yeah. It's been a good week of shows, man. This has been probably one of my favorite weeks.
I would say so. In the 3 years we've done it, I would say this has been one of our better weeks.
Bad news of surrounding Nationals, but it was still a fun week
and
of shows.
And the Texans.
Man.
Terrible news surrounding the Texans.
Yeah.
They didn't fire Bill O'Brien. That's horrible news.
I admit, I was a little too triggered about them snitches. But
yeah. We didn't hear it from anybody over there, and Bill O'Brien was the Bill O'Brien might have sent flowers and chocolate to the Astros office because it got his ass off the radar for
a week. It did.
All right. Well, you know what? We hope you were on your radar, and hopefully we'll be back next week. So will you. Every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., you can catch the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the football, the Lakers and the Rockets on Saturday night, and we'll catch you to talk about all of it on Monday. Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.